For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle with Liz Robbins.
And Asha Gibbon.
Again.
Again, we're back.
Hope you like our voices because it's just us for the meanwhile.
It's just the gals.
Just the gals reporting on the footy. So it was exciting, Asha. Last proper round of the season.
Yes, it was. And finals fever has hit.
I'm excited. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. It's a little bit unpredictable, I think, what will happen in the coming weekend.
Yeah, and it's going to come around so quick. Next thing you know, it's going to be a grand final day at Optus.
Yeah, it's coming quick. End of September, very, very soon. But we can't talk about the finals without recapping the last round of...
No, we can't. So let's do it.
Alrighty. So round 20, we had South Freo. They defeated Eagles. So it was 24-5. So 149 to West Coast, 9 goals, 6 behind and 60 points. So an 89-point defeat by the Bulldogs, where they were kicking a belter with 24 goals, but it wasn't always clear they would win, and West Coast were bringing back the margin to only 19 points at the start of the third quarter. But the Bulldogs then kicked 9 straight to affirm the lead, Brandon Donaldson and Jimmy Miller kicking 4 each, and the Eagles unfortunately finished the season winless. I'm very sad about that.
Only up from here, though.
Yeah, only up from here, but that's got to hurt. So best on ground for this game was Greg Clark with 32 disposals, 6 marks, 6 tackles. Callum Jamieson finished with 36 hit outs, 3 tackles and 19 disposals. And Tom Bletchton with 30 disposals, 3 tackles and 4 inside 50s.
Nice stats to finish off the season.
That was some nice stats.
Next up, we had Peel Thunder defeated Swan Districts 12-11-83 to 10-13-73. So Peel secured their double chance for finals with only a 10-point win over the Swans. So a bit of stress, but they made it through. Fremantle forward Matt Tabiner came out of the game early due to injury and looked uncomfortable in the first quarter and then left in the second. Huge for Ben Hancock, who played his 150th game, and he became the first Peel player to reach that milestone. Crazy. So he debuted back in 2014.
Wow.
Nearly 10 years. That's a milestone in itself.
Yeah, that's such a long stint in the league. Good on him.
Yeah, I don't think I could play in an elite sport for 10 plus years or nearly 10 years. Good on him. And unfortunately, inaccuracy was a problem for the Swans, but they did have a 15-point lead at quarter time. And then Thunder dominated the start of the second half, putting through 3 goals. Swans, they did fight back hard and threatened the final term, kicking the last 3 goals of the game, but Peel just proved too good and pushed their way through. Best on ground, we have Josh Corbett with 5 goals and 12 marks. Ben Middleton with 3 goals and 12 disposals. Jesse Turner had 34 disposals and 5 inside 50s. Huge. And Thomas Edwards finished on 3 goals and 6 disposals.
There you go. So Swan's chapter closes for the season.
Closed for the season, unfortunately, but.
Yes, and Thunder have some work to do this week. I think they will be.
Definitely.
So moving on, we have Claremont. They put through 13 goals and 12 behinds and defeated Perth with their 6 goals and 5 behinds. So it was 90-41. This was a really important game for the Tigers to secure their position in the top 5 and play finals for the 6th consecutive season. So they didn't want to be the ones to be missing out, I can tell you that.
Yeah,
and
they're pushing hard. And yeah, after a few years disappointment, they're pushing for the stars.
It was a huge game for Jai Bolton. He had 150 games as well this weekend. So two boys having
superstars.
Yep, and he finished on a massive 38 disposals per fake kick through the first goal of the game. However, it was their only score in the first quarter. Claremont then kicked the next five goals to take that lead. Then best on ground was Bailey Rogers with 29 disposals, four tackles, four goals. Ben Edwards had 27 disposals, four tackles and six inside 50s. Austin Davis had three tackles, three inside 50s and 32 disposals. And Corey Bryan had 29 disposals and two inside 50s.
Next up we had East Frio defeated Subiaco 15 goals, 19, 109. To 9 goals, 5, 59. So the top spot was on the line for this game. It was first playing second. So there was, there was pressure.
A lot of tension.
A lot of tension. And I tell you, Asha, there was a lot of tension on that field. So Subi had a promising start, leading for most of the first half and also kicking the first three goals. And then heading into the fourth quarter, it was anyone's game. They were both on 52 points. So it was do or die in that last quarter, make it or break it. And then the Sharks kicked seven goals in a row, which just blew them away. They took that lead and took the win. But, however, their accuracy was a bit off on the day. They did kick 19 behinds.
Yeah, that's a lot. Especially compared to Subi's five.
Yeah. Yeah, Subi should have counted themselves lucky at the start with all the behinds that they were kicking. And it is the Sharks' first minor premiership since 1998.
Wow.
Yeah, huge. That's a long time.
Ew, yeah.
The longer than I've been born.
Same.
And because they finished on top, they get a bye this week, a little bit of a refresher, you know,
yep.
Re-energize. Little bit of time off. So best on ground, we have Joshua Schoenfeld, who had 24 disposals, four goals and two behinds. Hugh Dixon finished on 16 disposals, five tackles, 15 hitouts and three goals.
Yep.
Here, there and everywhere, that man.
Yeah.
Then we had Liam Hickmott, 28 disposals, eight tackles and a goal. He's had a very consistent season, Liam. And Stefan Gyro with 26 disposals and nine tackles.
There we go.
I
wonder if they'll meet again.
Yes, that is the question.
The last game of the round was West Perth and East Perth. So West Perth defeated the Royals. It was 15 goals 10 to 13 goals 7. So it was the sixth straight win for the Falcons, but just wasn't enough to make the top five, leaving them unable to defend their premiership. So I'm sure a little bit sad after that game I would be, but they did have a really good end half of the season, something to be proud of. Their win sent the Royals down to fourth position, and the West Perth's defence was giving the Royals no space throughout the game. Their pressure was on, but the Royals did fight back hard in the third quarter. They were 52 points down early in the term, but they did boot through a whopping eight goals in 16 minutes, and that got them back. That is a lot.
Way. That's crazy. A lot.
Yep.
Oh my God.
They
That blows my mind. Speechless.
Yep. That is so fast paced.
Yeah, literally. Bang. Yep. Wow.
So best on ground for the Royals was Hamish Brayshaw. He had 37 disposals, one goal and 10 inside 50s. He actually got 22 of his 37 disposals in the second half, which is a lot.
Huge.
Yeah.
Second half too.
Yeah. Then Mitch Schofield, he had 4 goals and 12 disposals. Then for the Falcons, Sasha Kernert, he had 5 goals, 13 disposals, 5 inside 50s. And Shane Nelson had 1 goal, 6 inside 50s and 35 disposals.
Wow. So
that's round 20.
That's round 20. Do or die. But there wasn't too much shuffling. The top 5 remained in the top 5.
Yep.
So to head to the ladder, finishing round 20, heading into the finals, East Freo finished on top. Then we had Subi second, Peel Thunder third, East Perth fourth, Claremont scraping in the fifth. Yep. Then we had the Falcons sixth, Swan Districts, South Freo, Perth, and then West Coast at the bottom.
Yeah, so East Freo, they do have a bit of a buffer and they did finish on one. They sat on 56 points at the end of the season and then second through to fifth all finished on 48.
And there was only a few percentage. What's that?
Yeah.
1.4% between second and third and then 0.3% between third and fourth.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So very, very close, and I think this is just going to make finals that little bit more intense.
Yeah. So, yeah, first week of finals this weekend, both being held at Leedy Oval. So we have the qualifiers on Saturday and then the elimination on Sunday. Do or die.
It is.
So we have Subi and Thunder on the Saturday and then Royals and Claremont on the Sunday. So whoever wins out of Royals and Claremont will verse the loser of Subi and Peel in the first semi. And then whoever wins out of Subi and Peel will play Sharks in the second semi. That's, if it's not making sense in your brain, Waffle have a good little mind map and it's definitely helped my brain put everything into picture.
Yeah. Sometimes I think the picture is very helpful. So look that up.
Yeah. Speaking out loud, I just already confused myself. So sorry, listeners.
And obviously, Sharks have the week off. And moving into finals, Liz, the draft is coming up soon at the end of the year. And for the final season, all eyes will be on those WA draft prospects that are playing in the league. So this weekend, we have 2 of the top WA draft prospects and they will hopefully both be playing for their clubs. So Daniel Curtin, he plays for Claremont and he's appeared in the Tigers' top side over the last few weeks. And then for Subi Colton Tholstrup, did I say that right?
Tholstrup? I think so.
Yeah, yep. Tholstrup. He's also expected to be in consideration for joining Subi's side in their qualifier against Peel on Saturday, and he's made multiple appearances in the Lions league side this season.
Yep, it's all eyes on them.
Yep.
And there's been a change to the umpire system for finals.
Yes, I think it'll be interesting to see, I think, just how it goes. I think, well, it's already been trialed this year at games, and so an officiating change has happened with finals around the corner, and the league is now implementing the 4 umpire system starting in the finals and the grand final. So this comes after 4 umpires were used across the season at select Waffle games throughout the season on a weekly basis. And Liz, the AFL did introduce a 4 umpire system for all their games this year. So the Waffle has just followed that.
I feel like I did notice a lot of umpires on the field when I was watching the AFL games.
Yeah.
You could see them.
Yeah, you can see them. So the 4 umpire system just means that an additional umpire would be positioned in the middle zone and they'll ensure players wanting to contest the ball can do so without being blocked or held. So it's hoped that this will not only improve the quality of the games, but will also improve the dynamic, especially around stoppages. And then it means that umpires at either end of the ground can focus on whether forwards are being held off the ball.
See, it's much easier when you're not on the ground watching it from a sideline perspective to see everything.
Yeah.
Then you realise, like, being on the ground, you don't have eyes on the back of your head.
Oh, there's so much going on.
There's 1,000 players running left, right and centre.
Yeah. So hopefully this just ups the quality that we already see at the Waffle and just takes it to another level. And this isn't the first umpire change to happen in the Waffle this season. So the centre bounce that left the game this season, and that was following feedback from clubs during pre-season. So we've had 2 officiating changes this year in the Waffle.
I feel like this may get a few mixed reviews, the additional umpire, because, you know, people don't like things getting changed.
Yes, but another positive from this is that it will allow more umpires to gain experience at a Waffle level.
Very true. Positives, pros and cons. Make a list if you don't fully agree and see what one outweighs. Yep. And then in some exciting news, 4 WA girls have been selected in the under-18 All-Australian squad following their huge performances in the 2023 AFL National Championships. So go WA.
Yeah.
4 is awesome. So we've got Evie Coucher from Peel Thunder, Zippy Fish from East Frio, Molly O'Hare from South Frio, and Caitlin Schroge. Is that how you'd say it?
I think so, yeah.
From Peel Thunder. So they were named in the 23 player team lineup. Coucher was also WA's MVP for the championship and as a bottom age player earned selection in the 2023 AFL National Development Championships and the under 16 girls All-Australian team earlier in the year. So she's had a huge year.
Yeah.
Lots of achievements.
That's good on her. Yeah.
And then so the AFL National Championship under 18 girls are the highest level of the state and territory representative football. And this is the place to watch for the up and coming AFLW players. So who knows? Maybe in the next coming years we'll see these girls donning an AFLW jumper.
There we go. I think they definitely could.
Yeah. Well, if they're already doing this good in under 18, they've got some talent.
Yeah. That's the facts, Liz.
That is true. That is correct.
That is correct.
And well, that is all as well.
Yes. That is all for the Monday Waffle this week. It's just finals fever now.
Yeah, it's go, go, go in life and in sport. And then, yeah, in the AFL, it's finals fever too.
Yeah.
So much going on, so little time. But we're here to bring you guys the Waffle content.
Yes, we are.
Weekly.
Weekly. And then as well, if you can't make it to the Waffle finals, they are being played on the TV. So it's good.
But also the weather's been great. So if you can get outside and get to a game,
you should.
Go support the locals. Do it. Have vitamin D.
Vitamin D, yep.
All right. Signing off for another episode.
Yes, we'll see you all next week.
Next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.